Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13, Brahma Stealing the Boys and Calves, Text Number 2. Satam mayam sarvitam nisargo.
Satam mayam sarvitam nisargo.
Yad ardhavani shruti chetasam api.
Yad ardhavani shruti chetasam api.
Pratishanam navya vat achutasya yat.
Pratishanam navya vat achutasya yat.
Sriyavitana iva sadhu varta. Satamayam sarabritam nisargo.
Satamayam sarabritam nisargo.
Yad ardhavani shruti chetasamapi.
Yad ardhavani shruti chetasamapi.
Pratishanam navyaya vad achutasya yad.
Pratishanam navyaya vad achutasya yad.
Sriyavitanam iva sadhu varta.
Sriyavitanam iva sadhu varta. Satam mayam sarabhitam nisargo.
Satam mayam sarabhitam nisargo.
Yatasta vani shruti seta samapi.
Yatasta vani shruti seta samapi.
Patikshanam napya pat asyuta syayat. Sriyavitanam iva sadhu varta.
Sriyavitanam iva sadhu varta.
Satamayam sarabhitam nisargo.
Satamayam sarabhitam nisargo.
Yadarthavani shruti chetasam api.
Yadarthavani shruti chetasam api.
Vitanam of the Vachi. devotees.
Of the devotees.
Who are attached to women.
Who are attached to women.
Eva. Exactly like.
Exactly like.
Sadhu Varta.
Sadhu Varta.
Actual conversation.
Actual conversation.
Translation per foot by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Paramahamsa's devotees who have accepted the essence of life are attached to Krishna in the core of their hearts, and He is the aim of their life. Is there an nature to talk only of Krishna at every moment? As if such topics were newer and newer, they are attached to such topics just as materialists are attached to the topics of women and sex. Please repeat, Paramahamsas. Devotees who have accepted the essence of life.
Devotees who have accepted the essence of life.
Are attached to Krishna.
Are attached to Krishna.
In the core of their hearts.
In the core of their hearts.
And He is the aim of their lives.
And He is the aim of their lives.
It is their nature to talk only of Krishna.
It is their nature to talk only of Krishna.
At every moment.
At every moment.
As if such topics were newer and newer.
As if such topics were newer and newer.
They are attached to such topics.
They are attached to such topics.
Just as materialists are attached to topics of women and sex.
Such as materialists are attached to topics as women and sex.
Purport. The words Sarabritam means paramahamsas. The hamsa or swan accepts milk from a mixture of milk and water and rejects the water. Similarly, the nature of persons who have taken to spiritual life and Krishna consciousness, understanding Krishna to be the life and soul of everyone, is that they cannot give up Krishna Katha or topics about Krishna at any moment. Such paramahamsas always see Krishna within the core of the heart. Santak Sadaiva Rilyesha Rigo Kayanti. Kama, desires, krodha, anger, and maya, fear, are always present in the material world, but in the spiritual, transcendental world, one can use them for Krishna. Kamam Krishna kara marpane. Desires paramahamsas, therefore is to act always for Krishna. Ka krodham baya bhakta dveshi jane. They use their anger against the non-devotees, and transform vaya or fear into fear of being deviated from Krishna consciousness. This way, the life of a Paramahamsa devotee is used entirely for Krishna, just as the life of a person attached to the material world is used simply for women and money. What is day for the materialistic person is night for the spiritualist. What is very sweet for the materialist, namely women and money, is regarded poisoned by the spiritualist. Sandarshanam Vishayaniam Ata Yoshitam Cha Ahantahanta Visha Bhakshanato Yasadu. This is the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For the Paramahamsa, Krishna is everything, but for the materialist, women and money are everything. Satamayam Sarabritam Nisargo Yad artavani shuti chetasamapi pratishanam navya vat achutasyat triyavitanam ivasaluvarta. Paramahamsa's devotees who have accepted the essence of life are attached to Krishna in the core of their hearts, and He is the aim of their life. It is their nature to talk only of Krishna at every moment, as if such topics were newer and newer. They are attached to such topics just as materialists are attached to the topics of women and sex. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Shri Mahi Bhakti Raja Swami Namaste Sarasukhin Deva Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shimbadi Pashtra Yajaya Shri Pashtra. So today, please, if you can join us today, I'd like to thank you for coming. Here it says that the materialists are fixed in their desires. So that's not surprising. They know exactly what they want, generally speaking. And they know what they don't want. They want anything material and they don't want anything spiritual. On the other hand, the devotees are divided in the sense that they know they're supposed to want things spiritual, and they know they're not supposed to want things material, but sometimes it doesn't turn out like that.
Okay, sure.
Therefore, they have a conflict. And the non-devotees are quick to point out that you seem like you're conflicted. Why don't you fix your mind upon something material, and then you won't be conflicted anymore. Just like a dog, when he sees a piece of meat, there's no conflict within his mind. He hasn't read any articles about the dangers of eating meat. He's not worrying about gaining weight. He has no conflict with it whatsoever in his mind. He's completely fixed on his goal. And even after eating the meat, he doesn't feel guilty. This maybe was someone's mother I ate. No, he has no thought like that. On the other hand, materialists, they're very reluctant to hear from anyone that's not within their particular group, because otherwise they may become conflicted. If they read some article about vegetarianism, then they might feel guilty about eating meat. And indeed, we find that the devotees, after they leave the association of devotees, if they've been with devotees for some length of time, then they become very disturbed because they can't enjoy in the mature world the way they used to before. Because every time they try to enjoy, they feel guilty. Therefore, you find that they usually have to take more intoxication than any other normal person has to take, just so they can feel, quote, normal again. But we can take the example of the Paramahamsas, those who are actually enjoying the results of Krishna consciousness. Hopefully we don't think when we hear the word Paramahamsa that that means me. That actually the Paramahamsas were supposed to be able to relish in Krishna consciousness. I remember some senior devotees, when they got some important position, they thought, well, now I have this position, I should be relishing Krishna consciousness. So then, therefore, they had to put on a pretense as if they were relishing Krishna consciousness. So others thought, well, so-and-so has such a position, spiritual position, he should be relishing Krishna consciousness. So, therefore, the devotee thought, I must put on a show as if I'm relishing Krishna consciousness. So that's imitation. And that's a good, if you spend all your time trying to imitate something, you have no time whatsoever to actually develop the real qualities that's necessary to actually come to that position. So putting on a show is not very important. To actually attain the position, that's what's important. Especially in Kali Yuga, where there is no honesty left, practically speaking, but it's the only thing left, unless one is actually truthful, at least with oneself, unless one tries to find out what is the truth. It's not that I'm in the darkest of ignorance, and therefore, somehow or another, I'm honest, because I know nothing. Therefore, therefore, whatever I say, at least I don't feel like I'm lying, because I don't know anything. No, one has to find out what the truth is, then can one be truthful. If we don't find out what the truth is, how can we be truthful? There may be such a thing as relative truth, but that's not really true. So you may, as George Washington, the only thing, one of the things he was famous for in American history is that when he was young, he chopped down a cherry tree. And someone came along and asked him, who chopped down the cherry tree? And since the axe was still in his hand, he had to admit that he did. So he was the only honest president, the only honest thing an American president had ever been told. Or ever sit. But that's not real honesty, that's just relative honesty. A real honesty begins with understanding. understanding how Krishna is the proprietor of everything. Unless we can accept, or as much as we accept, that Krishna is the proprietor of everything, we begin to become a little honest. Otherwise, we're thieves. A group of thieves, they rob a bank, they go to their hideout, and the head thief stands up and says, "My dear fellow thieves, you've stolen so much money, we only request you to do one thing. Please, please let us divide this money up honestly." So they're thieves, they've stolen from a bank, now they want to be honest. So in the material world, everyone is basically a thief. They're trying to steal from God, from Krishna. But they're trying to make laws to make it appear like they're honest about doing it. You can be a thief, but you have to get a title that you're the legal, we make you a legal a thief, the legal, give them a legal title to the property you stole. That way, you're to be an honest thief. But, as long as we're in the realm of being thieves, as long as we want to enjoy our stolen property, the property we stole, as long as we want to take credit for helping other thieves, we think we're the deliverer of the other thieves. They're suffering. And although I'm a thief myself, I want to deliver them. I don't want to give up the stolen property, but I'm going to teach everyone else how to do it. So that makes me appear to be honest. But we're afflicted by the material energy. And here it mentions that, basically speaking, one is in the material world for two things. Economic development, which means to get as much of the material energy as possible, and then to try and enjoy it. So here it says, women. So women means for a man, a woman for a man, and for a man is a woman. Whatever is enjoyable. And of course, nowadays, anything's possible. Any combination is possible. So, to try to get some of the material energy and try to enjoy it, it's all within the realm of materialistic consciousness. Of course, it's not that we reject utilizing Krishna's energy and Krishna's service, including even we get something which is enjoyable like prasad, but we eat it, but we should take some, have some appreciation that it's Krishna's energy that has been given to me by Krishna. Not that prasad is an opportunity to forget Krishna. No, it's an opportunity to help us remember Krishna. Otherwise, how can it be prasad? If we can't remember Krishna while we're eating, then it's another, you know, God gave me this, but I, you know, now I got it. He can't have it back. It's for my enjoyment. That has to be taken with the spirit of appreciation, of gratitude, in Krishna consciousness. Then it's actually really taking prasad, honoring prasad. So the devotee who's actually on that platform, he can appreciate how nice Krishna consciousness actually is. Here it says, Yani sha sarvabhutanam tasyam jagrati samyami yasyam jagrati bhutani sani sha mashutomune. What is night for all sentient beings is the time of awakening for self-control. And the time of awakening for all sentient beings is the night for the introspective sage. So people think that they're enjoying the material world, and the devotees think that they're actually suffering. And the non-devotees think that the devotees are suffering, and the devotees think that they're enjoying. Just like Kuladeva Sridhar, he had nothing. He didn't even have a house. He was living somewhere near, actually, where the Jagannath Mandir is, only a few hundred yards away. He was living in a cottage and had holes in it. He didn't practically have a roof. So all day and all night he was chanting Hare Krishna. But at night, he was chanting, well, let's put it this way, his only income was from a few banana trees he possessed. You go to Bengal, you'll find out there are a lot of banana trees. It's not a big business to have a few banana trees. fruitarian. Whatever little money he got from selling bananas, which was probably quite cheap, because everywhere you go, the bananas are there. He would give half of his income for his worship of Mother Gandhi and half he'd use for survival. So all day and all night he was chanting Hare Krishna, and at night the neighbors thought that this poor man, because he's worshiping Krishna, therefore he's not getting enough to eat. Therefore at night he's howling out of hunger pain. Why doesn't he just worship Mother Durga, and then Mother Durga will give him enough to eat? He doesn't have to howl at night due to hunger. Then they thought, well, pick up his cottage and himself and we'll just throw him to the Gandhi so we don't have to listen to him at night. But he wasn't howling out of hunger, he was howling, he was chanting in ecstasy. But for the materialist, there is no such experience. Just like nowadays, if someone chants like that, they'll call a psychiatrist, have him put away. They won't ask him to worship Mother Durga. They'll put him into a psychiatric hospital and try and calm him down. Because they have no belief there can be such a thing as ecstasy, spiritual ecstasy, because that would imply that there's a God besides themselves. And that's not allowed. But here it says that those who are elevated in spiritual life, they can become detached from such material experience and completely attach themselves to Krishna consciousness. As Jamuna Acharya said, Yadavadi mama chaita Krishna padara vinde nava navarasa divanyu vyatam receipt tadavadi vandanari sangame smaryamane bhavati mukha vikara shusti nistivanamcha. So Jamuna Acharya, who's the king, because people, they'll think, oh, this is just imagination. There was no person as Jamuna Acharya. Although in India, he's a historical person. But they'll think, oh, maybe he took too much LSD or whatever. They have a lot of hashish in India, so they think Vyasadeva was some crazy person living in the Himalayas, taking intoxication. And he made up Krishna and the whole thing with demigods, whatever else, on one of his excursions, and chemical excursions. He wrote down perfect poetry during his madness and chemicals. In any case, Jamuna Acharya, he said, now that I have become conscious of Krishna and enjoying ever newer pleasure in the consciousness of him, whenever I think of my previous experience, Monday experience with sense gratification, my lips turn in disgust and I want to spit at the thought. So Jamuna Acharya was a great king. He had unlimited opportunities for enjoyment. But when he became Krishna conscious, he was a Tuchava. Just like the Six Goswami, they gave up their materialistic comforts and their positions. And they went to Vrindavan and lived as ordinary mendicants, begging from door to door. But they were so much enriched with the gopis' feelings of separation that they enjoyed transcendental pleasure at every moment. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya was at Jagannath Puri. He was in the role of Srimati Radharani, feeling the separation from Krishna. Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book that those who are in the Gaudiya Sampradaya should always feel the separation of Krishna. Worship his transcendental form, discuss his transcendental qualities, his pastimes. In this way, the spiritual masters who elevate the devotees to the highest devotional perfection, feeling constant separation from Krishna while engaged in Krishna consciousness, is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. So that's the level of the Paramahamsas. So does that mean, well, we're neophytes, and they're the Paramahamsas, so what to do? Well, we're not supposed to stay neophytes. Prabhupada didn't accept that. Prabhupada, one time he rang his bell, Guru Kripa, this is at 12 o'clock at night, Guru Kripa woke up, and Prabhupada asked Guru Kripa, what are you doing? He said, said, "Are you asleep?" He said, "Why are you asleep?" He said, "I'm tired." He said, "Why are you tired?" Came away and I do it to serve. He said, "Well, I'm not a Paramahansa like you." Prabhupada said, "Why are you not a Paramahansa?" So Prabhupada didn't accept me. He said, "Yeah, well, you're a Paramahansa, and I'm the eternal you're an eternal Paramahansa. I'm the eternal neophyte. Therefore, I'm eternally two neophyte activities." It's like you eternally do Paramahansa activities. No, Prabhupada expected the process is meant to help us become at least first and second class devotee, and then a first class devotee. So Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī is given the formula, tanāma rūpacāri tādi sikīra tanānu smṛityo kramena rasmanasīna yoja iṣṭaṁ vrājē tananurāgī janudāmī alānayāt akilam ipte śasāraṁ. Before that he said, Sat Krishna Nama Charitari Sutapta Vidya Pito Patata Rasano Roki Kanu Kinva Dharada Nudinam Kalisava Jushta Svadhi Kramad Bhavati Sat Pita Mulahantri. The holy name, transcendental form, qualities of Krishna are transcendently sweet, just like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya cannot relish anything sweet, but it is wonderful how by simply chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within one's tongue and its disease is destroyed at the root. So we should remember that Krishna is actually relishable. The question is whether we become conscious of Krishna. And the chanting is just another one of the processes, of course the most important process, by which we become conscious of Krishna. We chant with the right intention, the right feeling of separation, or the right mood, desire, which we have to develop. Then Krishna reveals himself and we become conscious of him. Not that there is some mechanical method that we force Krishna to come. We have to develop the right mood, and then Krishna becomes inspired to come. At the same time, the essence of all advice Guru Rupa Goswami has given us, that one should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely hearing and chanting that the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and pastimes, in this way gradually engage the tongue and the mind. So the tongue, of course, represents the intelligence, in the sense that the tongue vibrates according to the knowledge that we have. And the heart represents the feeling. So we're trying to understand things properly so we can develop the proper feelings. Of course, proper knowledge and feelings about Krishna's name, form, quality, pastimes, etc. In this way, gradually engage the tongue and the mind. One should try to live in Braj, the local Vrindavan, and serve Krishna under the guidance of the Lord's devotees. And one should try to follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his devotional divine service. So in the beginning, our process, we try to hear and chant as much as possible about Krishna and give up the material conceptions and material aspirations. Try to live in a place where people are interested in cultivating Krishna consciousness. That way, gradually, one will develop an attachment for the process of hearing and chanting, and then one will gradually understand and therefore accept what we're doing. It is not that just because we're hearing and chanting about something, and even serving, it automatically is accepted process. No, we're trying to come to the platform of actually accepting that what we're doing is good. As I said at the beginning, we're a little conflicted. Our mind is always saying, you're wasting the best years of your life. Flee before it's too late. Just worry, you're too old to do anything that you want to do. Try to enjoy as much as possible, and then when you're old and you can't enjoy anymore, then surrender to Krishna. So that's what the mind's telling us, you know, that many persons have tried out the process. They were much more powerful. get going when the going is still good. No, one should try to give up these ideas, and then one can find there's some degree of acceptance of the process. That's what initiation is supposed to be. That you make a promise at the time of initiation, you're going to follow the four ring principles for the rest of your life and chant 16 reps. Not that you enter the initiation ceremony, you know, behind your sari, your fingers are crossed, you didn't really mean it. Or that it would have been better if there were only three regular principles. No meat, no fish, no eggs. Those that could have followed. But the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. Therefore, who can blame it? But one should have some conviction that I actually am going to follow these four regular principles for the rest of my life and making an effort to chant Hare Krishna senselessly. That's the only way we're actually going to get the spiritual strength to rise above our conflicted nature. Only if we actually experience Krishna can we rise above our conflicts that we have. Krishna remains a theory, then how can we not be conflicted? If Krishna is always like the proverbial carrot in front of my nose, we take one step forward and the carrot goes one step too. Then we won't be appreciating very much what we're doing. We actually have to get the result. And here it says, even Vitaraga Vyakroda, if we take the process of Krishna consciousness, then Raga and Vyakroda, anger, greed, and fear, they'll gradually go away. Lust, anger, and fear. They'll go away as we become conscious of Krishna, if we follow the process as given to us by our previous acharyas. And even if we can't immediately become a paramahamsa, at least we can advance towards becoming something like a swan, a little bit more swan-like. So, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes.
How come there are some spiritual people who are more focused on their aim than spiritual people? I personally know someone who plays trap music, and you can see the trap music is his life and soul. It's very determined and very in love with trap music. So, shouldn't Krishna help spiritualists more than spiritualists?
He is, but he gives us free will. He's not going to force us to love him. Fix your mind on me or else you die. No, because we're trying, our goal is very high. Loving Rappi is just like a hog. A hog, if you give him a plate of stool, they'll go for it. He's fixed. So that doesn't mean that a hog is very advanced, that he has some enviable quality. His mind is completely detached to the object. So what is rap music? What is the difference between stool and rap music? The difference is that stool may smell worse, but it's less dangerous to the mind. So we're practicing getting out, just like as it says, when you have jaundice, then sugar candy doesn't taste very good. Some people may not like sugar candy because they're jaundiced. So we may be taking sugar candy, it doesn't taste very good, and therefore we're not so enthusiastic about taking it as compared to something else. But it's the only remedy, it's the major remedy to get out of jaundice. And when we get free from our jaundice, then we'll become much more absorbed in Krishna consciousness than people are in rap music or the hog is at stool. Because the person is absorbed in rap music in this lifetime, who's to say what he's going to be doing? Maybe he'll be eating stool in the next lifetime. But the devotee, he becomes so attached to Krishna that even if he changes his body, massage and rock music. What does he know? He doesn't even know he's not his body. Is that what they're talking about in the rap music? You're not the body? So he's becoming more and more absorbed in illusion. And gradually he's becoming more and more like a hog. And he's enthusiastic about it, just like the hog is enthusiastic about eating stool. But for a sane person, it's not a good thing to be enthusiastic about. Because the hog doesn't know, and he doesn't know either. Even the most elementary knowledge. He doesn't know he's going to hell, and he doesn't care because he has no brains. And
if we have a material desire, and we are aware that it doesn't really help us in our spiritual development, and we don't really need it, but it bothers us. So the material desire bothers us. Should we accomplish it, or just leave it to go away?
Well, it's just like a ghost. Ghosts come and go, boo. Oh my God! And when the ghost sees it, how upset you are, and goes, boo, boo, boo. Ah, it's a ghost. It didn't do anything to you. You could have just ignored it. It wouldn't make any difference. But because we're so attached to it, therefore it disturbs us. So we just forget about it. Don't become disturbed by it. Then it'll just go away. Well, it's easy to say, and it's difficult to do, but if we don't do it, then we become, at some point in our devotional career, we have to do it. So it's either today or tomorrow or the next lifetime. So we can choose when to do it. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam.
Ki Jai.
Srila Prabhupada. Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande.